person.
Hello?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
All right, this is Next Fan Up. My name is Mark Sitko. We are coming to you for some Week 10 NFL recap action, just going over all of these games. We are the podcast for the fans, by the fans. I have some super fans here with me tonight, including Monty, who is our Raiders super fan. How you doing, Monty?
Doing terrible. Super pissed off right now, but I'm happy to be here.
Good. I'm glad you're here. I think there's going to be a lot of that today, Monty. I think it was a rough day. I'm pretty pissed myself. We lost our quarterback, probably not for long, but then lost a game. Yeah, it's ugly. Nick is also here. He is a super fan of the Chiefs. He's probably the happiest super fan here today. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, and I also have a Chiefs quarterback, Alex Smith, here. Alex, could you walk over? Do you want to say anything to the – oh, okay. You like that? You like that? Thanks, Alex. Thanks. Go have a beer.
Yeah. Alex Smith wins over Peyton Manning, meaning that Alex is greater than Peyton Manning, right, Nick? Yes, that is awesome
exactly
win for you
correct.
Guys. I can't believe it. James is also here. James is our super fan from the Houston Texans. How you doing, James?
Doing well. We haven't lost yet.
Nice, yes. And if you win tomorrow, that's a huge win, man. We'll get to that by the end of the show. But to get started, let's kick back to the first game of this week. We had Buffalo, New York Jets. Rex Ryan is able to go back to his old team and beat them. Monty, you checked this game out. What did you think?
I thought it was fun to watch Rex go back. You know, it's kind of an emotional game. He's an emotional guy. He's just fun as an NFL fan to watch someone who's that passionate go back and win. Just watching the game, it looks like Shady McCoy is fully healthy, and he's just so much faster than everyone else on the field. And Carlos Williams looks great, man. I've seen the stats, the fantasy stats. Every game he plays, he gets a touchdown and all that. Just a good game to watch, and I don't know, man. I'm not an East Coast guy, but I like watching Rex Ryan. I like watching him show emotion. I'm more to see somebody who cares and is willing to demonstrate it than just listening to Bill Belichick sounders all day long.
Yes, for sure, right? 1 second, guys. I have somebody who maybe have jumped into the line. Let's see who this is. Hey, who's this?
Woo! You want to replace Bill Belichick liners? Woo! We don't have no Bill Belichick liners around here. Woo!
Who is this? Patrick, how you doing, buddy?
Pod Vader!
How are you doing, Pod? So Pod obviously had to call in because he just had the win of his lifetime, an ultimate revenge for 2 Super Bowls, winning with, 5 seconds left. How are you doing, Pod? How did that game look for you?
Oh, my God. I'm not actually the one you want to talk to. I actually called in for somebody else who's standing right next to me. It was his birthday on Friday, but we celebrated it today, which is why this game went the way it did. But I'm going to hand the phone off to my son, Zach, and I want you to interview him about this game, all right? Here he is.
Sounds perfect.
Hello?
Hey, Zach. Happy birthday. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Nice. So tell me, how did this game go? Did you believe it was going to pull out in the end? Did you have faith in your team?
Well, I was super scared that the Pats were not going to make that field goal at the end.
Uh-huh.
But Gostkowski came out with the field goal and got us the win.
Yes. Nice.
And the only perfect kicker left in the league.
Yes, exactly. What else did you do for your birthday, man? Were you just watching the game, or what did you and your dad do?
My family was over to watch
cool.
the game. We celebrated my birthday.
Oh, man, happy birthday. That is awesome
Giants.
For you guys to win. What was that?
Half of them were Giants fans.
Ah, so made it even better, right? You got to win in face of the enemy.
You let Giants fans into your birthday party?
That is awesome, man. I'm stoked for you. Happy birthday. What else do you want to say about the game? Do you have anything else you want to tell us?
Well, Brady with that 76-yard touchdown pass brought the Patriots back into the game, which helped mm-hmm. the Patriots win.
For sure, and
then
for sure.
And then that pass to LaFell was also huge.
Yes. Oh, man. You guys are going to go undefeated? What do you think?
I think we'll go undefeated.
Yeah? Super Bowl?
We're going all the way.
Winning it? Two in a row.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, go for it. Congratulations. I can't say we can stop you. I don't know who will. You guys are on your way.
Thank you.
No, of course, of course. Thank you for calling in.
You're very welcome.
I told you we'd replace Belichick liners on this podcast. No Belichick liners. What I will tell you about the game is this. There was horrible refereeing in this game on both sides of the ball, not just against the Pats, but also against the Giants. I don't know what it is about Big Papa Pump and his crew, but they have clearly lost something out there when it comes to refereeing an NFL football game.
No, yeah, it was ugly today in my game, at least. A lot of strange refereeing. We had to hold for at least a whole minute while they were trying to figure something out on the field. So what do you think, Pod? Do you agree with your son? Are you guys going all the way to the Super Bowl?
I got to tell you, watching the great Peyton Manning, break the record and then go and throw four interceptions and get benched for Brock Osweiler, that was the last game that I was a little worried about. I'm slightly concerned about the Eagles game, but I mean,
I appreciate
that's pretty
the
much.
Joke, but...
that's pretty much it. Honestly, that's pretty much it. I don't
what about
see another threat until the playoffs.
Yeah, and so in the playoffs, who are you guys most afraid of? You're going to win two games. Who don't you want to see?
Yeah, I'm concerned about the other undefeated team in the AFC right now. I think, I want to see how they play tomorrow night. But I mean, you know, I was talking about this with some of those other Giant fans that were at my house, and I think the Bengals are for real. They're coming off their bye week this week. So I expect them to come out strong. Pretty much every team that I, was looking for something from this week let me down, although the Jaguars finally came through for me. But, I mean, I would suspect the Texans are going to let me down once again. I did pick against them. I think I gave them the points. I don't remember. Frankly, it all doesn't matter. The great Al Del Greco, the greatest football player ever. I pray to him on very important field goals. Came through once again in the clutch. Great Al Del Greco helping out Stephen Gostkowski, making sure that ball stayed just enough to the right.
That was incredible, man. Incredible win. Congratulations. You guys hold on to your undefeated record, and we'll see how you guys do in the postseason.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about undefeated Patriots and Giants, but this was the only – my wife was like, this is the only game he's been yelling at this whole season. I was like, this is the only game the Patriots have been losing pretty much the whole season. I mean, this was not
– I was amazed.
It was everything that I expected to see, though, going into the weekend. I was definitely scared of this game. Undefeated Patriots and Giants, they don't mix.
The Giants put up an amazing fight. I have to give Samuel props, man. That is an incredible game for them to keep up with you guys and to only lose it when you guys steal it away at the very last second. That's impressive, Giants. Awesome game. But obviously more impressive. Pats, you guys are unstoppable. The fact that you and Cincy are just rolling along, that's fascinating to watch these two juggernauts and see what's going to happen.
And I don't want to continue monopolizing the time here, but I am concerned about that offensive line. There's been way too many injuries happening there, so we have a depth problem on the O-line. The only good thing would be those guys that are hurt should be coming back at some point during the season. And the Edelman
and the Edelman injury. The Edelman injury does have me a little bit concerned. You know, Amendola stepped up, but Amendola is not Julian Edelman. So that's what we Pats fans are watching, the depth issue, because it's slowly getting whittled away there.
Yeah. Well, at least with the offensive line, you have a quarterback who can get rid of the ball in like 2 seconds. So, oof, just incredible what he can do even when he has a porous line. Awesome, man. Congrats. I'm glad you called in. We don't hear from you enough on Sunday nights. It was great to hear you and laugh with you. That's great, man. Congratulations. Thank you for beating my Giants. That kept us, even though we fell apart, it kept us within a game. Thanks, bud. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, and now it's time to watch the Redskins, because that's kind of scary to talk about.
Yeah. Well, Rob Ryan, don't get it too far ahead of yourself. But, you know, I hear you that anytime you see that many number points, I don't know how that happened. But, yeah, we'll get to that game in a second. I think we're going to move on. Are you good? Anything else you want to add before you go, Pod?
I'm good. Continue to have a great show. The Monday morning tradition lives on. I look forward to listening to the rest of the show tomorrow morning.
Hey, Pod, right on.
Have a question for you.
Oh, go for it.
Oh, what's that?
How sure were you that Odell Beckham did not have a catch in the end zone there with 2 minutes left?
I was the only one in the room that knew it was not a catch. I was like, that is Calvin Johnson. That is Dez Bryant.
Well, it's not the Calvin and the Dez because he wasn't going to the ground.
Well, but I knew he needed to maintain control even with the 2 feet. And as soon as that second foot hit, he lost control of the football and it was not a catch. That said, I totally disagree with the rule because I had grown up learning that the rule is as soon as the ball breaks the plane, it's a touchdown. So I don't know how you fix that. I don't know if you can fix that. It's just sort of everybody needs to know what the rules are and accept it in that manner of fashion. So I will accept it that it was not a catch. But I know when it happens to me in the Super Bowl, I'm not going to accept it. So, yeah.
Awesome win. Right on, man. We will see you in the morning.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Well, thank you.
You too.
Have a good one, bud.
Bye.
Jane, anything else you want to add to that game? That was a game you were looking at. Is there anything else you saw in that game beyond what they're talking about you want to add?
I mean, just to echo Pod's point, there was a lot of questionable calls in that. It evened itself out, so I guess you could say it was a consistently bad officiating. There were several times when Brady had a defender down by his legs. I mean, JPP on the drive to set up the field goal was down around Brady's ankles, and it's one of those where, especially with it being Brady, you expected to see the flag. But yeah, Patriots found a way to win, and unfortunately they don't really look all that stoppable. No matter who gets injured, this game it was Edelman. Somebody else is just there to step up and take the touches, take the torch and run with it. Sadly, it's 2007 all over again.
I really hope we get an AFC championship game that is Cincinnati against New England. That would be an incredible game. We'll see how it goes. Come on, Dalton. Take him down. Jacksonville, Baltimore. This game, I thought Baltimore might actually finally get to get their act together and win a game, but no, they mess it up again. Nick, what did you see in the game?
Well, it was an interesting game. The Jaguars seemed to control it most of the game, but that was mostly due to continued mistakes by the Baltimore Ravens. Primarily Flacco, really. A lot of turnovers on his end. But the Ravens got it together late in the game and made a real push in the fourth quarter, actually taking the lead 20-19. Then what followed was like the nuttiest end to an NFL game that I have seen in a very long time. Basically what happened, I mean, the thing with Bortles overall is that it's clear that that the Jacksonville young quarterback has all of the talent, but he's still working on gaining those veteran instincts and just overall awareness of some of the other contexts of the game, like situational football, all those things. And that was totally on display when basically Jacksonville needed a 2-minute offense to win the game. They're down by 1 point. They got the ball. with no timeouts, with about a minute and a half left. And, of course, Ravens go into total prevent defense. They're just trying to stop the long ball. And Bortles, you know, was kept on throwing these, like, 10-yard passes over the middle, which was keeping the clock running. And he didn't seem like that was a problem to him. He wasn't hurrying up. He wasn't getting things moving. And so they made it to about midfield, literally, when there's single-digit seconds on the clock. So they're around midfield. He barely gets the snap off with 1 second left. It was, like, as it was ticking between 1 second to zero. Gets the ball, is going back. It's touchdown or nothing, even though they're only down by 1 point. And he gets sacked by Dumervil, but Dumervil sacks him by his face mask. And so because of that, the game cannot end on a defensive penalty. Not only that, not only is the game continue at 0 seconds, but they gained 15 yards from the penalty, put them into field goal range. And the Jacksonville kicker, who had missed a 21-yard, something like that, some like really short field goal early in the game, then, you know, makes it with, you know, a 53-yarder to with 0 seconds left to win the game. So a really chippy, sloppy game by the Ravens, actually really by both sides. Even Bortles completed slightly less than 50% of his passes. But essentially, it was one of those weird games where a single player managed to take victory out of the jaws of the beast and throw it directly to the other team. And it's weird that we've seen a lot of these this year. I can remember there's been several games this year where the game was won. It was entirely won. And like the last like single digit, like last like 3 or 4 seconds, like one player on a team makes some boneheaded mistake that totally loses it for the team. For the Ravens, it was a meaningless game to begin with for them. For the Jaguars, they're actually now threatening in the AFC South because that is such a garbage division. And I'm looking forward to see that. I hope that they can do something. I imagine with Luck out now 2 to 6 weeks, they have a real shot of maybe even taking this, depending upon what happens, obviously, with Houston at Houston-Cincinnati game tomorrow, but not that I'm expecting Houston to win that one. The Jaguars are finally alive. They're finally – I mean, it required some real misfortune by the other team, but the Jaguars have been this team where they've always been alive in all of these games, and they've had disappointing endings to it, and finally, for once, they weren't the team that made the critical error at the very end, and they get the win. So good for them.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And go Jacksonville, man, if they can take that division. Crazy. But yeah, if anybody deserves it, give it to them. That'd be the most fun. Moving on to Detroit Green Bay. Oh, my Lord, the Packers lose at home to Detroit. Are you kidding me? James, tell us about this. The ending of this game was just nutsy. What'd you think?
Well, so it reminded me a lot of watching like the Cleveland Cavaliers play and just having everybody stand around and watch LeBron James and say, hey, what's LeBron going to do next? But instead of LeBron James, it was Aaron Rodgers. And his receivers were, they always seemed to be half a step off, half a second off as far as their timing routes went. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers would be back there. He had, you know, days to throw because Detroit couldn't really manage a pass rush all that well. But his receivers weren't doing a great job of getting open. When they were open, they were dropping passes. He would slightly overthrow them. Something seems very off because in the past few years, you know, Rodgers has been known as kind of a scrambling quarterback. And there were several, I counted 6 opportunities where Rodgers had evaded the pass rush, was looking downfield and had the opportunity to either run for 5, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 yards and just pulled up at the line and chucked it deep to a receiver that was, you know, looking back, staring at him, like, you know, kind of to say, you know, oh, what's, you know, what's Aaron going to do to bail us out? So despite that, Green Bay was in it right until the end. The opening kickoff of the second half is the only reason Detroit was able to get a touchdown, or their second touchdown there, or I'm sorry. Yeah. Their second touchdown, they were able to run it back for, to the half yard line and, on third and goal, punch it in. So, Detroit wasn't really, I mean, Detroit won the game, obviously, but, they missed two extra points, gave Green Bay the opportunity to drive down the field. Rodgers was in the position again, needing a touchdown and a 2-point conversion to send the game to overtime. This time he got the touchdown. They failed on the 2-point conversion on a drop, and managed to recover the onside kick. Once they recovered the onside kick, again, driving down the field, Detroit just didn't really look terribly interested in stopping them or even able to stop them. It was just a matter of Green Bay stopping themselves. I know they're going to come out with the whole, all the fans have to relax, but with the way Minnesota is coming on, Green Bay can't afford to throw away, games like this, divisional games, games that, they should win. Matthew Stafford, this is his first win on the road against a team with a winning record in his the previous 20 attempts. He's now 1-19 against teams with a winning record on the road. It's the first time Detroit has won in Green Bay since 1991.
What?
The defense. Yeah. So it's
that's a crazy stat.
Yeah, everything pointed to Green Bay to win, and Green Bay just kind of carried themselves with the attitude that they had already won the game. It was just a matter of running out the clock. And, at the end of the day, they didn't make hardly any plays. They didn't make enough plays to win the game.
Wow. Just unbelievable. So what do you think, James, of this Green Bay offense and any of the other guys that want to speak up? Is it just Nelson being gone? Why is this offense so anemic?
I think a lot is that they rely more on their running game than they care to admit. And, Eddie Lacy's obviously having a down year. He was not active for this game, so it all fell on James Starks. They actually gave Randall Cobb a couple carries trying to get something out of the running game. They do a lot of similar plays to the Patriots, where it's a quick swing pass to the outside or a screen pass to the running back, and that's, it's passing stats, but they're plays that are effectively running plays. And, Rodgers even bounced a couple of those swing passes out to the outside, and if, they can't get their running game going, that's not opening up anything downfield for their passing game to plays.
Yeah. Oh, really fascinating. I did not see that coming. I thought Green Bay would definitely, especially being, like you said, with Minnesota coming up behind them, I thought Green Bay would be on point today and win that game. They couldn't pull it off. Speaking of which, Miami-Philadelphia, my game. I am the Eagles super fan, and I watched my team lose to Miami. This was really the story of this game is the fact that we still don't have our left tackle. We have our right tackle, Lane Johnson, playing left tackle, so we have a guy out there at right tackle, Kelly, who is really not that strong. He gave up a pass rush that knocked Bradford out of the game, so we got to see the Sanchez. Sanchez came in, this is like perfect Sanchez, comes in, looks strong, moving us downfield. He was in position. We were only down by a point, so he drives us all the way down to like the 5, and he could field goal, and we'd probably win because our defense was playing a great game and Miami driving much all day. But no, throws an interception in the zone, gives the ball back. Miami should have won the game there, but still we were able to stop them. This was like, there was maybe 4 minutes left at that point, a little under 5. We're able to stop them again. They kick the ball back to us. We get one more drive, but again. And the biggest thing in Sanchez's, like the problem he was having is he wasn't in sync with everybody. All day as he was handing the ball off to Murray, it looked very awkward because he didn't understand, they just hadn't practiced it as much as Bradford and Murray. And then he was even throwing passes to receivers and bouncing it off the passers, off the receivers without them looking for the ball, which I don't ever understand. I'm like, if you're open enough and the quarterback hits you with the ball, how are you not at least looking to see that that might be coming to you at that point? But I think it's just simply comes down to timing. Man, go Ron, unsquish the fish. That is awesome that you guys pulled out. Luckily, Dallas lost, and so did the Giants tonight, so it kind of keeps us in check. It's fine that we lost this game, but obviously our team is not going anywhere. If we make it to the playoffs, that's great, but we would just be there as spoilers. We are clearly not going to beat one of these great teams like Carolina or Cincinnati or the Patriots. I guess in the NFC, there's not a whole lot of other teams that scare me, but there's definitely a lot of teams that are better than us. Moving on to Cleveland-Pittsburgh. This is one of the few games today that went as we would assume. Monty, you watched this game. What did you think?
This game did not go actually as I was expecting because Tyler, is it Laundrie, whoever the backup quarterback was who started, got hurt on the first drive of the game. And Big Ben came back in and dominated. So, you know, you're going into the game as a Raiders fan. You're hoping that maybe Cleveland can do you a favor, get you a spoiler win. And, you know, all they got to do is hold up a backup running back and a backup quarterback. Next thing you know, Big Ben comes in on one leg. And Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant, I think, both were number one and number two in receiving yards for the week. I mean, the Steelers' offense is legitimate. The Cleveland Browns, going into the year, I thought their offensive line was supposed to be good. If you look at the stat sheet, their running game was not there today, like non-existent. So if the headline is John Manziel loses another game, I mean, he played all right. He, you know, was make plays, real conservative. He doesn't force the ball, doesn't do anything. The Browns have a couple of good receivers, Benjamin, Gabriel, that tight end. I think his name is Brainridge or something. Solid all the way around, but their defense really just crapped the bed and could not compete against the Steelers' offense. And it was over before it started. I think the very first snap of the game was some weird fluke play where John Manziel, the ball slipped out of his hand, turned out to be a pick. Steelers came in and just rolled over them, and it wasn't even close.
So that's just fascinating. So Roethlisberger wasn't supposed to start that game, and somebody got hurt, and he came in. So I just never thought if your quarterback could go at all that you would have them as the backup. I'm surprised it worked that way.
I thought we were going to see Michael Vick, but he wasn't even active. So when Roethlisberger came in to play, if he had gotten hurt, I think they said Heath Miller was going to be the backup quarterback for the rest of the day. Like, they only had two active quarterbacks going into the game. And Roethlisberger came in, and, yeah, I mean, if that's Roethlisberger at 70%, I mean, if the Steelers take the wild card, that's something you should be aware of because that team was good.
Yeah, wow, that is incredible, man. Go with Roethlisberger. I mean, that is impressive to come in injured and play that well. Chicago-St. Louis. James, you took a look at this game. Chicago goes in and blows them out 37-13. Tom had been writing in on Slack while the game was going on and talking about that he could understand why St. Louis was not doing well with Foles and everything this year. He thought it was some of the sloppiest play he'd ever seen. What did you see in the game, James?
Well, there were five plays to Tavon Austin there were five holding penalties on Greg Robinson alone, it looks like. And it's his second year. You know, obviously one holding penalty is a bad one. To rack up five is another thing entirely. As an example of the plays that got taken away, 20-yard rush for a touchdown by Tavon Austin, 10-yard rush by Tavon Austin for a first down on a third and 10. 15-yard reception by Tavon Austin on a third down as well to get a first down, got wiped off the board. They opened two drives on their 20 after a touchback, and first play out of the gate was a holding call. So, Tom was right on as far as the Rams just kind of shooting themselves in the foot. A lot of the other things that they did was, you know, they for the year, they're the worst team in the NFL on third down conversion rate. And part of the reason that I saw in this game was on the third downs, you know, they would have a couple guys open. You know, Wes Welker, this is his first game with the team, so maybe that was part of it. But, you know, they need 9 yards, and Wes Welker runs a 7-yard route. And, you know, they put the ball on him, but there's no room to try and get the extra 2 yards. They had several opportunities where, you know, you need 6 yards, and so they run a 4-yard curl route. You know, it's just poor execution on their part. They ran a fake punt in this game. I'll say it was marginally more successful than Indianapolis's, only because there wasn't a penalty on it. Excuse me. The other fun fact on the Rams is that their punter, Johnny Hecker, is a former high school quarterback. So, you know, at least you're getting it to a guy who has the ability to throw the ball. But if you're down by two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, you know, a fake punt is all well and good, but why not just put your offense out there and try and gain the 7 yards you need? They let up two long touchdown passes, which were effectively screen passes. The ball, I think, only traveled downfield 2 yards on the Zach Miller touchdown, and it was a pass behind the line of scrimmage to Jeremy Langford on the other 80-yard touchdown pass. The Rams are the first team to allow two touchdown passes of over 80 yards since 2006, when the vaunted J.P. Lossman did it last. So they're in good company there. As far as the Bears, though, I don't think I'd rush Matt Forte back. Jeremy Langford looks good. When he needed to get spelled, Kadeem Carey came in and just carried the ball. He had a burst that Matt Forte just kind of seemed to lack this year so far. I'd be kind of interested to see what Tom has to say on that, especially, you know, do you want to try and move on from Matt Forte at the end of this year? But no, I mean, the Bears came in, they were ready to play. St. Louis came in and shot themselves in the foot time after time.
Yeah. Man, it's we see Tom, the super fan of Chicago, happy, but today must have been one of those days. Nice win there, Tom. Awesome game. 37-13. I mean, that's incredible. I was expecting St. Louis to show up better at home today than that. I thought they would win, but I definitely didn't see them blowing them out or anything, beating Chicago well, but to only put up 13 points is just pathetic. Dallas, Tampa Bay. Talk about a game of pathetic. This game was just two teams, really, no one knowing who wanted to win. No one could score a touchdown. Most game, the score was 6-3. Like 80% of this game, the score was 6-3, and these two teams would just go up and down the field, but no one could punch it. Winston drove them all the way down and was just about to score a touchdown, very Sanchez-esque, through an interception, and it was like, ah! And then, finally, though, towards the very end of the game, Tampa Bay got the ball, was able to string together one drive to score a touchdown and win this game. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, Dallas is fighting really hard without their quarterback, and I have to give them props for that. But I just do think the season's over. 2-7 is just going to be too deep to come out of, even with Romo coming back. I can't believe that without Romo, they lose 7 in a row. I've said this before, and I'll stick by it. I mean, obviously, I think that a quarterback is not everything. A team doesn't all of a sudden go from being a Super Bowl contender, losing their quarterback, and they can't win a game. I mean, you should be able to, like the Pittsburgh Steelers have done this year. If you're missing your big star quarterback, you should be able to at least piece together some wins. But I think the team has a lot of problems. Tampa Bay, you know, yeah, this team is not going to contend for much this year. But, I mean, these are the kind of wins that they need to learn from. If Jameis Winston pins enough of these on his lapel, he's going to have a nice kind of like battle-worn toughness that should serve him in the future. So, I mean, this is great for a rookie quarterback to win a game like this. Carolina, Tennessee. Nick, you took a look at this game. I thought it was interesting at the beginning. The Tennessee kind of stayed for a little bit, but how did it end up?
Well, it's sort of what we've seen all year in some ways, in that the Tennessee Titans are just not a complete team. Mariota didn't play particularly well. But the main thing is that they had zero running game in this. Dexter McCluster had a nice 25-yard run in for a touchdown. And based on that, he was their leading rusher. Their leading rusher was Dexter McCluster with 3 attempts for 25 yards and a touchdown. And, you know, so Mariota had basically no help in this game. And they were thoroughly dominated by the Carolina Panthers and finished the Panthers won 27-10. What was interesting to me was that we've all been sort of mystified. Everyone's been sort of waiting for the Panthers to drop off because they're just such a weird team in terms of the way that they've been winning. They've had really good defense, but they're the only team still that has more rushing attempts than passing attempts. And they did again in this game. And, you know, they were good on the ground, not great on the ground. But the main thing is that what stood out to me in this, and maybe it's just the Titans' defense are slouching or something. But Cam Newton, he's always been a guy who, you know, he's got the big play in him. He's throwing lasers all over the place, but he's never been really an efficient guy. But today he was nothing if not efficient. He went 21 of 26 for 217 yards, a touchdown, also ran one in. I think he's really grown up. I mean, you can tell based on the whole banner incident last weekend that he hasn't necessarily grown up as a person, but he's grown up as a quarterback. And I, you know, I think they're the real deal this year. Granted, this is against the Titans, but the Panthers are just now, they've shown that they can win in a variety of different ways, and their key players are showing that they have a lot of depth to them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fascinating you say that about Cam growing up. I definitely, I've heard people talk about that right now we're losing all these great quarterbacks, right? As Peyton is kind of, you know, fading a little bit. We know Brady eventually will fade soon. We've had some other, even Aaron Rodgers, who's still up there, but people have pointed out we're losing a lot of the great quarterbacks right now. It seems like we had this amazing class and people are getting close to retirement. And they people have acted like there's nobody there to come in and be the next great quarterbacks. But, I mean, I think we have to put Cam up as, like, clearly this is one of them. If Cam like this for the next 5 years, he's going to be there. And if they can get him some weapons down there and keep on what they have going, you know, he could be really brutal. So I just wanted to point that out. Also, I saw this meme this week that I thought was really cute, right? This idea that there's a point when you realize three teams that are remaining, that are undefeated, are all teams that have a nickname of a large cat, which is the Carolina Panthers, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the New England Cheetahs. I thought that was just cute. If you look at those three games, Nick, how do you rank those three teams? Look at the three big cats, as I just called them. Who, you know, who's the best? How do you put those three teams in your mind?
It's just really hard to put anybody over the New England Cheetahs. But I would say, I don't know, I just have a really tough time having – I've now watched a few games with the Bengals, and they're the team that I've watched the most of. And they just have no weaknesses. They're just – I've seen them – dominate games where they're able to do whatever they want. I've seen them be in tough games where nothing worked and they still eked out a win. The Panthers, I think against teams that are not well-rounded, they can dominate like crazy. Everybody else, they're going to need some amazing performance by one or two players. So, I mean, I think I would probably go Cheetahs, Bengals, Panthers. But it is a really interesting question.
Yeah, and obviously we're probably not going to get to see the answers to any of these into some really big games, but they're going to make those final big games really great. Thanks, man. That was great. Yeah, sorry to take you on a random little side tangent there, but I was just curious. When I see those three teams, it's so rare that we're this late in the season and we still have so many undefeated teams that we can talk about and try to imagine what are these flaws. And like you said with Cincinnati, that's the one of the three that I don't see any flaws. It seems that the Pats keep pulling out miracle wins because of great coaching and a great quarterback. And then Cam Newton are pulling out wins mainly because of the great quarterback and some great defensive plays. And it's just, yeah, which chemistry is going to end up being the one that takes it all? And, you know, or some wild card that we're not expecting. Moving on to New Orleans, and I watched this game. I mean, this isn't a game we need to spend a whole lot of time on. New Orleans is totally done, obviously. People are already talking about, you know, is Sean Payton going to be with the Colts next year? They're talking as if that coach has already got the door. Washington putting up 47 points would be amazing if it wasn't for the fact that they were facing Rob Ryan's defense. I have not looked this up, but that has to be one of the worst defenses of all times this year, right? I mean, they are just getting blown out left and right, and if we keep up, they're going to lose that game. Cousins, a great game, 20 for 25, 324 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Thank you, Rob Ryan. A. Morris and Cousins both had great games. Breeze was 19 for 28, 209 yards, 2-2. He just couldn't keep up, but he had one receiver, Cooks, is his boy. Cooks had a great touchdowns, almost 100 yards. In the end, I just think New Orleans has tons and tons of problems on that defensive side of the ball. And Washington is getting it together right when they need to. So they're keeping up. It's going to be us and Washington trying to catch up with Giants as we run to see who's, you know, going to take this feeble division. It should be fun to see how it all shakes out. I'm impressed with Washington to see them getting it together. And I really think they should keep Cousins next year. More and more, it seems to me that's the move to go with. And just try to build around him. He's better than a lot of – you could do a lot worse is the best. What I would say. Looking at Minnesota-Oakland, Monty, you checked this game out. Obviously, did not go the way you wanted. I'm sorry, buddy. What do you think?
Didn't go the way that I wanted, but it wasn't even close. I mean, I know that Pod's not high on the Vikings, and there's a stat out there that the Vikings, and even after beating the Raiders, because the Raiders are now 4-5, the Vikings don't have a win this year against a team with a winning record, but their defense is good. I mean, you saw what the Raiders offense was able to do against Pittsburgh, against the Jets. They weren't able to do it at home against this Vikings defense. Raiders just, you know, they're 3 and outs. They just weren't clicking. The offense just was not moving. And the Vikings offense, I mean, I was kind of hoping since Teddy was out with a concussion protocol and missing some practice that maybe they'd be kind of out of sync a little bit to start the game. Just not the case. They were, I mean, nice, long, steady, consistent drives. I mean, the game, the Vikings won by 16 points, 2 scores. And it would have been even further of a blowout if Kyle Rudolph hadn't dropped an easy, wide-open touchdown. There wasn't even a Raider in the screen. I know the Raiders can't cover the tight end, but come on. There was nobody even in the screen. Wide-open totally dropped it. Blair Walsh missed a field goal, had one blocked. The Raiders' offense needs to put up 40 points for them to be competitive because their defense is that bad. Couple of sacks from the Raiders guys that, you know, love to see pressure on the quarterback, but they've got no chance. And the Vikings now with the Packers kind of sputtering these last 3 weeks, the Vikings lead the NFC North and the Raiders are going to be playing catch up to try to get one of those wild card games. And with the Raiders defense, it's just going to be tough, which, you know, they play better than I would have expected this year, but it's just going to be kind of, you know, they've given us hope now, you know. We're starting to believe that they might be able to get a wild card, so now it's a little bit frustrating. Whereas the Vikings, I mean, they're in the driver's seat. They got a couple games against the Green Bay Packers. If they can split it, I think they're going to make some noise with that defense. And Adrian Peterson is as Adrian Peterson as he ever was. He broke off an 80-yard touchdown run where the Raiders kind of blitzed to stop the run. He broke through that first layer and was just gone. Nobody was even close. I mean, I think he had a 200-yard game. Teddy had some good plays. I mean, the Vikings are legit. I think the NFC needs to, you know, kind of pay attention. I know they haven't beat anyone with a winning record yet, but I think that's only a matter of time due to the schedule.
Yeah, the NFC is weak. So, I mean, yeah, a lot of teams, you know, even if they have a winning schedule, they don't have a big winning schedule, big winning record. So, yeah, I could see that. Yeah, very impressive, Minnesota. You guys take that division. I mean, no one saw that coming. Other than maybe Davey. I had you guys picked my pick'em. I'm the leader in the pick'em league that we have with the super fans, and this is by far my worst week. After the morning games, I only had two that I had gotten correct. Just a total bloodbath, and I had picked Oakland. I thought you guys were going to have this. Very impressive, Minnesota. Kansas City, Denver. Nick, you've got to be stoked. We started off with a little bit of your celebrations. Let's wrap it up here with you, buddy. What did you think? This is the final game we got to recap.
Nobody believed me, but I did really feel good going into this game. And it was one of those things you couldn't back up with a whole lot of statistics, but it just makes sense. I mean, obviously the Denver Broncos are probably a better team against the gamut of the league. But I think if you were to play the Chiefs and this Chiefs team and this Broncos team 10 times, the Chiefs would win most of them. And it's just because of matchups. And I think this really played out early on, especially with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is going to be the main storyline that's going to come out of this. Because A, he broke Brett Favre's record for the most passing yards in his career. But leading into this, it was just, you could tell there was no one more annoyed by the fact that the game was stopped and this was acknowledged than Peyton Manning. Because his first pass of the game, he threw an interception to Marcus Peters. Second passing play, he gets strip sacked. Luckily, one of his own guys jumped on the ball. Third pass of the game, he throws this check down for 4 yards, which was enough to break the record. And the cameras are on him. They stop the game. Oh, Peyton Manning. And you could tell he was just like, oh, God, no, I don't. And he's famous for like hating having his concentration broken anyway, but especially when everything had just been bad leading up to it. It's like, yeah, I don't, you know, whatever. But he had to hand off the ball so we can go to the Hall of Fame and all that kind of stuff. But it only got worse from him. He ended up throwing two interceptions in the first quarter, 4 total. His final, he finished 5 of 20 for 35 yards, 4 interceptions, and was benched in the third quarter. For Brock Osweiler. 5 for 20.
Oh my lord.
And
wow.
You know, and honestly, I think if it hadn't been the game where he broke the record, he would have been pulled a lot earlier. It was just one of those times where, look, I mean, I expect him to be the starter next week. But it was just like watching a pitcher that's just throwing home runs over and over and over again. When it starts getting ugly, it's just not that guy's day. You got to pull him. The Chiefs totally dominated this game. It was 29-0 going into the fourth quarter. The Chiefs' defense absolutely shut down the Broncos. Brock Osweiler didn't come in and help. He went 14 of 24 for 146, one touchdown, one interception. Basically, the end of the game, it was like a preseason game because no one was playing that hard. The end was sure. The Chiefs were playing their entire second team defense. It was the second team quarterback playing for the Broncos. The main thing though is just that, you know, the Chiefs now have the potency to make this work. I mean, their defense matches up really well against the Broncos, so I don't expect them to be that dominant in all their games. And the offense did just enough. I mean, I have the Chiefs kicker on my fantasy team, and he got me 20 points. That's Chiefs football. The Chiefs, though, moving forward, what's most important is that they're now 4-5. They're tied with the Raiders. And what I love most about the emergence of the Raiders and this win is that it makes the two Raiders, the Chiefs-Raiders games for the rest of the season so important. Because each of these teams has 5 losses. If one can sweep the other, they can effectively knock each other, one or the other, out of the playoffs. And they come at fun times too. So the Chiefs now go on the road to the Chargers, who they should beat. They play the Bills at home, and that's another game with a lot of wild card implications. Then they're in Week 13. They go to Oakland. And then the second time they play Oakland after playing the Chargers, Ravens, and Browns again, all winnable games, is they then play the Raiders in Arrowhead in Kansas City in Week 17. So that could really decide who gets the wild card. Both these teams have been up and down. I could see it even being, you know, one of the teams, you know, starts taking off with it and the other one plays spoiler for them. But it's really... We're now in a position where the Chiefs-Raiders rivalry is really meaningful again, and that's fun because your team sucks, Monty.
they have sucked in the past tense. They are starting to show some promise, so you better be careful what you wish for with how fun this rivalry is about to get in the next 10 years.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, that's awesome. We'll definitely get some of the super battles as that comes forward.
You mentioned that you expect to see Peyton Manning at quarterback next week. I mean, they play the Bears next week and then they play the Patriots. I mean, is there any discussion that you sit Peyton for a week, let him get over whatever it is he's facing right now? I mean, you saw him come out of the bye, look like a real good quarterback. You know that, you know, this, you know, he's not terribly effective this year. So this might be the last year you really get him. You got to figure out what you have with Brock, and you know, a game against the Bears might give you the opportunity to see that. You're 3 games up in the standings, so there's not a whole lot at stake by doing that.
Well, I think there should be discussion, and in fact, I mean, he went into this game, apparently he had some injury to his foot, and he didn't miss much practice, but when I saw that, I was even more confident that the Chiefs, you know, would be able to take this one, just because, I mean, Peyton Manning is not very mobile, you know, on a good day, but especially with a bum foot. I mean, he was like a statue with a collapsing pocket around him. There was one play where he literally, half a second into the play, he took a slide within the tackle box and just let a Chiefs defender tag him down. I mean, he knew he had no chance. He knew he had nowhere to go. He didn't, you know, he just went fetal immediately. And I think that's a big deal. I don't know, though. But at the same time, this guy's probably his last ride. He's breaking. He still has a few more records to break. I think he hasn't beaten. He's already beat the touchdown record, but not the wins record. And I do think, you know, with a GM like Elway, I think he's interested in letting this guy build his legacy and win his games. And also, you know, you get pulled in one game because you're being especially bad in one game. Then it's, you know, it's sort of understandable. He's still a starter next week, but once you are benched in multiple games, then you start a controversy. And for a playoff team, I'm not sure they want that back and forth. If it were me, I mean, from a purely objective standpoint, I think you gotta. I think it would be the smart move. I mean, Peyton Manning, literally directly after breaking the all-time passing record, was being booed by the home fans for just back-to-back three and outs and stuff, and all these interceptions. And I think with his at his age, it's going to take him longer to heal everything. It would make sense to bench him for a couple more weeks. I'm just not sure that this front office is going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Elway.
John Elway's inquiring to try to get IK from Buffalo Bills to come out to Denver for a week or two just to break Peyton's jaw so they can bench him without having to go through the controversy.
That's funny. Did somebody else have something to say on that?
I mean, you just mentioned that Elway wants him in there to break all these records, and, you know, it's fine as long as they're on top of the division. I think if there's any GM or any front office in the league that would be able to survive, you know, benching Peyton and not having it blow up into a huge controversy, it would be Elway, because he could come out and say, look, I know what it's like to play as an old quarterback trying to make one more run at the Super Bowl, and I would have done anything to have, you know, one extra week off just to prep for the playoffs.
That's a good point.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be very fascinating. I mean, just, yeah, to see what they could do to prepare his body. And just so sad to hear you say that, Nick, but I think you're dead right that maybe this is their last run with him. And, you know, how do you do that? What is the way you play this out that it works out the best for them? They had such a great record going into this week. Go ahead.
He has 9 touchdowns and 16 interceptions, league-leading 16 interceptions in this season. I mean,
yeah. So
they were able to squeak through some games earlier in the season. This is what I was talking about, you know, last week previewing this game. But, I mean, he was brutal in this game, and he's had his defense and some of his other skill position players make up for a lot of his limitations at this point. And I, you know, if they're going to get into any games like anything like it was against the Chiefs, I mean, it's going to be ugly.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's a waste of that defense. That is one mighty defense. If they, you know, if they can't pull it off, that's a shame. James, for the very last thing we talk about today, how are you feeling about the Cincy game tomorrow? Do you guys feel you have a chance? Just, I was curious to hear your thoughts.
We have a chance to cover. You know, if you engage in those type of activities. No, I mean, just going back to the earlier conversation we had, Cincinnati has too many weapons. Our pass defense, which last year was, you know, one of the best in the league, it's still well above average for the league, but, you know, it's come down a peg. Andy Dalton has done a very good job of getting rid of the ball quickly this year, accurately this year. We don't know if Jadeveon Clowney is going to play. It sounds like we've lost at least one of our cornerbacks. Jackson is already ruled out. We might lose another line, or we may not get another linebacker back. We don't have the bodies to cover AJ Green, Tyler Eifert, and, you know, Lord help me say this, Marvin Jones. And then on top of that, bringing in Vince Wilfork at the beginning of the year, you know, to solve our run defense problems, which is, you know, was our Achilles heel last year. You know, Vince Wilfork has been invisible. And just watching Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill, to a lesser extent, carve up Cleveland last week, you know, Cleveland's worst in run defense, but we're not much, you know, we're not really far behind them. You know, if it comes down to matchups, I don't see any matchup on paper that I like.
You're forgetting about one major matchup issue that English Simon points out every single time Cincinnati plays in prime time, and it seems to be their Achilles heel. If Detroit can go out and beat Green Bay in Lambeau, perhaps that Andy Dalton shows up on prime time yet again and has the entire Cincinnati baseball booing him at celebrity softball games in the offseason.
Yeah, that's very true, and you know, if the Sunday games had kind of gone according to script, you know, you don't have Detroit going into Green Bay and winning. You know, I'd agree that, you know, on any given day, any team can go in there and put up, you know, the game of their life. But it seems, at least to me, in these primetime games, when you've had a day of a bunch of upsets, it kind of gives that team that's going in as the heavy favorite, in this case Cincinnati, they'll be able to look back and say, hey, we can't be Green Bay. You know, these guys are going to come out and try and get us. You know, it gives them something else to kind of focus on, as a, you know, in case they're just sitting in there thinking, oh, we're undefeated, Houston's coming in there, probably one of the worst 3 to 5 teams in the league. This should be an easy win. Green Bay is going to serve as a nice reminder to them that you can't take a game for granted.
Yeah, well, good luck, man. That's an amazing game if you guys can pull it off. Would be a great win. This has been Next Fan Up Week 9. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Monty, Nick, and James. Awesome work, all of you, checking out your games and breaking them down for us. You can find us at NFU Podcast on Twitter. If you go to Facebook, you just get Next Fan Up, and you can find us easily. Please follow us. If you want to be a super fan, write in. If there's a team you have not heard a super fan for in a while, the spot is probably available. Reach out. Let us know you want to be one of the super fans. We love getting more folks on our team in football. Thank you guys so much.
Well, we're on to Cincinnati.